Welcome to Educator Forever, where we empower teachers to innovate education. Join us each week to hear stories of teachers expanding their impact beyond the classroom and explore ways to reimagine teaching and learning.
Renee Slofenor is the author of I Still Love Teaching, Despite Having All the Reasons in the World to Quit, Observations of the Education System. He is a language teacher in England and has been a teacher for over 23 years. And he's also a passionate musician, playing various instruments and performing across Europe. Renee's teaching philosophy is anchored in building strong relationships with students, fostering a deep love for learning, and nurturing students' unique potential. Welcome, Renee. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Lily. And it's a pleasure to be here as well with you.
Wonderful. Well, I always like to start with the same question, which you can take in any direction you want, okay, which is to tell us about your journey as an educator.
My journey as an educator started 20 something years ago. I was destined, if I may say it like that, to become an architect or an engineer. But my love for languages took over when I entered university. And I decided to become a language teacher instead. And I do not regret it at all, because I do feel more at home since I changed my pathway. And so I've been teaching for the last 22 years in a variety of educational settings with children aged 11 years to 18 years old, and mixed schools, single-sex schools, and you name it, I've done it all. I've also worked as a substitute teacher, which we know as a substitute teacher, you do not have the same rapport with the student as when you are permanent in the school. And so that has helped me as well build or grow my experiences to deal with behavioral issues or building relationship with the students and staff alike.
So yeah, it's interesting thinking about the substitute teaching. I did some of that when I was in my credentialing program, and it was really hard, but also so important. Like, I feel like I learned so much through that process because it was hard. Like, it took out the variables of the class culture you'd built and the relationships you'd built and all the things. And you have to do it in like a microcosm.
Yeah. But you know what? I decided to do substitute teaching for 2 terms, almost a year, because that was after my first year of becoming a certified teacher. I wanted to have more experience in working with more schools, more children in different background and setting. It was difficult to start with, especially because some of the schools where they send you as a substitute teacher are usually schools where teachers don't stay to work, so they are always in constant need of substitute teachers, but those experience has helped me a lot in understanding how to tackle behavioral issues with students, especially as a substitute teacher. They know you're not here for long. You're here maybe for 1 day or 2 days. So whatever you say, they're not going to take it seriously. But when they see you the next day, and okay, maybe he's there for good. And my approach was, and that still is the case, to teach my student the way I wanted to be taught when I was a student. And thinking of those students whose teachers were not staying with them. They, for example, in one term, I remember one class told me I was the fifth teacher, the fifth German teacher in that same term.
Wow.
And So for them, anyone who shows up, they know that person is not going to stay. So they just didn't care. And talking about care, students or children in general do not care until they know how much you care about them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I used to gain them to work with me. Is it's by showing them that I cared, even though I was only a substitute teacher. And that helped me have a good time in those different schools that I want to work at.
I love that approach too, you know, showing that you care. And also something you said really stood out to me too, of being the teacher that you wish you had. And I think that's so powerful to think about things that way. You know, sometimes being a teacher, a beginning teacher in particular, sometimes you can feel like it's like me against them. You know, you gotta control them, and you gotta like get things moving and get all these things done. And that's not ideal. And so I'd love to hear more about that. Like what do you wish you had when you were a student? How does that inform your teaching?
Well, I wish I had more. I wish my teachers gave me more credit for who I was as a person, not just as a student. Mm-hmm. And especially in primary school. And I'm saying that because I did my primary school years in Haiti. And over there, the teachers are strict.
I bet.
They are strict. You can't budge if they don't tell you, if they don't allow you to. And if you decided not to do homework, you would have hell to pay. And the teachers then were seen as, if I may use that term, as the kings, the gods. So as a student, you were nowhere near them. And I wish sometimes that I could joke with my teachers. Mm. And there was no way I could have done that in primary school. Then I moved to Paris, where I did my secondary years, high school and university. And that was a different ball game altogether. Because over there, contrary to Haiti, the teachers were soft, not to say too soft for some of them. It was a different system. So I was tempted even to go the opposite way and mess about and not paying attention, or even perhaps to become rude towards them. But I didn't, because of my because of the education that I had for my parents, for my family, so which was to be respectful to everyone, especially adults. So for me, that wasn't an issue at all. But I had already a better relationship with my teachers in high school. And that made me enjoy those secondary school years. Like if you ask me if I liked school or which were my favorite school years, I will never mention primary school for the reason that I mentioned. And I will always say secondary school, high school, and university. Secondary school for sure.
It's so interesting, hearing about the two different experiences there.
Yes, and that's what I built on, knowing or still having the fresh memory of my primary school years, and knowing how I enjoyed my secondary school years. I take from both to build the best method that I can build, which is to treat my students with respect and no lower than I am as a person, no higher, but just equal as a person.
Yes.
And in and out of the classroom as well.
So powerful. I mean, I think that power dynamic, it does more harm And that really, why, you know, like, why do teachers have to be on this pedestal? I think sometimes teachers kind of, you know, latch on to that because it feels like control. Mm-hmm. And the goal of school is not to control students.
It's right? to educate. Yeah. Educate.
Yeah.
And to me, that's part of the education, to show that everyone can be respected. Like everyone, no one is okay. Yes, there is a hierarchy in the school, mm-hmm. and they are aware of that. The mm-hmm. students are aware of that, but by showing them the same respect that you would show, you would express towards your colleagues, does not mean that they see you truly as their equal. On if we're talking about hierarchy, they still know they are below in the hierarchy, but still that's something that would help. And I have an anecdote. Actually, one student who was in my year 9 class, I mean, in England, you're in the United States, right?
Yes, I'm in California.
So, okay, mm-hmm. So year 9 in England, that's students who are 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And so that student was what they call a troublemaker. And he was constantly in trouble with the senior staff and all the colleagues. He was often temporarily excluded from the school, etc. But in my lesson, he always behaved. And for me, I was not aware of how bad his behavior was outside of my classroom until I get to read his report. A student is put on report in England when the behavior has not been satisfactory, mm-hmm. or if they had been excluded for something extreme. And that report is actually a little card on which there's a target for them for 1 week or two. And that target can be something like showing respect to everyone in the class, focus on your work, and arrive on time on class. And they have to hand in this booklet to the teachers in every lesson, and at the end of the lesson the teacher will fill in if they had completed mm-hmm. those targets, and pass it back to the student, who will then pass it on to the next teacher. So I was reading Ryan's report, and it said, be polite to member of staff, or no swearing, or something like that. I went to him while we were doing some classwork and said, Ryan, there's something I don't understand. You are often on the report for swearing at teachers, swearing at other people, fighting, etc. But yet, in my lesson, I've never had an issue with you. Why is that? And he would look at me and said, because you're not like them. So what do you mean I'm not like them? Well, you're not like them. And I asked him to clarify. And then he said, because you talk to us. Mm-hmm. When you walk past us in the corridor, you talk to us. You would even come join us on the playground during lunchtime or break time and have a chat. As if you don't treat us as if you were superior. That was those were his words. And although to me, I was not, in my mind, I was not doing anything special to gain his respect, but that made me realize that, it's true, I haven't seen any colleague go on the playground at break time or lunchtime and chat with the students like I do. Mm-hmm. And to me, what was to me a natural thing to do. For the students, that was something special. Mm-hmm. and that's one thing that stayed with me since then. And absolutely. I was just being myself. So if you treat them as equal to a certain respect, there's a grand chance that they will reciprocate the respect to you. And
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that I felt the same way when I was teaching. You know, I felt like my classroom management was really that I truly loved all my students and that they knew that. And so I think that, you know, when you allow yourself to have that human connection and don't feel like you have to be like the leader, you know, the one who must be obeyed all the time. While also, you know, like you shared with your experience, you know, moving to Paris and going to school there, like you also need to have control of your class and have it be, you know, a learning environment that works for everybody. Yeah. But I think that it has to start with that like true love and appreciation and like mutual respect and really leading by example there. And then going back to one more thing that you shared, I think just highlighting that also seeing students for who they are, you know, for really, truly, like as a parent, I have two kids who are 9 and 13. And that's what I love the most about their teachers. Like when their teachers can see them for who they are, you know, all parts of it, that's the biggest gift.
Yes, absolutely. I have two children as well.
Nice.
Yeah. 20 and 23.
Okay.
And so I share my hobbies with them, with my students, and they love that. That's something they find exceptional as well, because teachers don't tend necessarily to share the hobbies or what they do with their own children, with their students. And by doing that, they see you as a normal human being. In the eyes of the students, we teachers are not human. We are not normal. We are teachers. That's a different breed of species.
Yes, absolutely. So tell me about your book and why did you decide to write it?
Oh, I decided to write that book one of the reasons was because I wanted to share my experiences and my insight with other teachers and anyone who wants to or who's thinking about becoming a teacher. And also because in my schools, colleagues have often asked me, Renes, how do you do with this class? They are a nightmare for me, but they seem fine. And for me, when they asked me that question, I honestly had to reflect to see, okay, what am I doing with them that to me seems normal, natural, but that other teachers are not necessarily doing. And that goes to some of the things I mentioned earlier, the respect that I give them naturally, and treating them as a human being before a student, learning with them, and there was also the sanction. If you ask any of my students if I am a strict teacher, the answer is likely to be, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like maybe yes.
The answer is yeah. They will say yes. They will say yes. And yet, if you see them in the class, in my classroom, the atmosphere is so relaxed. They are, no one is scared of asking me questions. No one is scared to try and pronounce a word wrong. You know, I teach, by the way, for your listeners, I teach languages, French and Spanish. So they are always willing to try and make mistakes and learn from them. So all these things, creating that comfort that in the classroom for them is one thing I think that helped. And I wanted to share with colleagues and anyone who's interested in education how I have been doing it, to that work that has been working for me, and to the point that I still love teaching, hence the title of the book, after 22 years, and so that others could pick from my insights, my experiences, and see what fit them, what would fit them. If they have to tweak anything, they would do that. So it's in a way to help others to answer those questions, but also to raise awareness of the education system. What I'm about to say might shock a lot of you, especially because I said I love teaching. I hate the education system. I hate
that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And continue. Yes.
And so why do I still stay in that education system? It's mainly because I hate it so much. I know I can help those students who have no choice but to go through that system. So I am staying in there and try and make the life the more enjoyable during the time in school.
Yes.
And teach them like I always wanted to be taught. So
fantastic. I mean, I absolutely relate and felt the same way. I'm no longer a classroom teacher. We get to work with classroom teachers a lot. But I felt the same way. I mean, if I could keep teaching, not in the traditional education system, it would have taken away a lot of the pain.
Yeah.
And I think for me, so much of the frustration was just not being able to do the things that I knew that my students actually needed, and to be able to teach in the way that they really needed, both, you know, in terms of what I was allowed to do or expected to do, and also just in terms of like capacity of having an impossible job and like then having to meet the needs of all these different students in different ways. So I feel that. And I think it's like, and also, like you said, students are in the education system and we want them to continue and to be inspired and to have people who see them and to love learning and all the things. So we need people like you who are willing to, you know, work within this dysfunctional system.
Absolutely. And I'm thankful that I'm teaching in a country like England and not France, for example. Why? Because I feel I have more freedom to be creative in the classroom in England than I would be in France. I still have a lot of friends who were at university with me in France when I was in France, who are now teachers in France. And their life in the school where the schools where they work is totally different to mine in England. The freedom of action that I have, that I'm granted in England, they don't have that in France at all. And that's something I am grateful to. So despite the fact that I despise in a way the school system, there are many good things in it that we can still keep, of course. Like, you know, in everything you can't just throw everything away. No, we and that is one of the things that I would keep in the system, or even develop. It's the creativity, give teachers more freedom to teach the way they feel is more appropriate for a particular class, rather than forcing them to teach in a standardized manner every single one of the classes, or the same curriculum, the same thing. So
absolutely,
for that I am thankful that I can do that still.
Mm-hmm. And teaching is such a creative profession.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that not having that creativity sometimes, you know, it doesn't help anyone when that creativity is squashed. And so I love that you're leading with that.
Yeah, talking about creativity, this is one of my top concept that I value the most in my lessons. Children are, I would say, naturally creative. They can be, you would give them, my children, let's say, my children have been my best source of inspiration. Seeing them, watching them play with pieces of Lego or kitchen utensils and creating stories. And I mean, it's amazing, amazing. And in the classroom, if I often try to use play, writing skits and for the students and or with them. And often I let them write their own script to practice the language on using dictionaries or online dictionaries if they want to. Basically, all the tools that are available, I let them go for. I said, listen, you have the freedom to use whatever you want, as long as at the end, within the time that I set you, you are going to come up with something creative. What exactly do you want us to do, sir? I just want you to use these type of vocabulary in that concept. You come up with something. And man, the amount of things they would come up with. As a teacher, I would never think of telling them, okay, I want you to do this or that. No, by giving them the freedom, one group will produce a role play, another one would make a video, another one would make a lovely poster and they will explain it. I mean, it's great. And seeing them use the language in various contexts, that gives it credit for them. It makes it relevant that they can use it. They can actually use it. It's not just words in a textbook that you have to recite in a standardized test in order to get a certain grade and pass or fail. So, yeah.
And it's giving them that opportunity, you know, that chance to really put these things together and try things out in this different way that I think we don't give students so much, you know, when we give them a textbook or when we give them something that they have to follow exactly like this.
Yeah.
They don't get that chance personally, to even try this.
Personally, I never had that at school. Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you would imagine that it's because I had that as a student that I want, that I am doing the same thing to my student. But no, it's probably because I didn't have it, but I wish I had it. So I'm using that.
And that framework is so helpful. I mean, I think, I became a teacher because I didn't have a great experience in school. I didn't really love school. I always loved learning, but I, even as a kid, thought it could be so much better. And so I think thinking about, the things that worked for you, but also the things that didn't work can be a really powerful reflection for teachers as well.
You said you loved learning, and that's something we tend to think that children or some children don't do. We think that some of them, especially those who don't show interest in one subject, don't like learning. But no, they actually do like learning. And that's strange because today I spoke to about that to one of my students during lunch break. She said, oh, I don't like, what subject was it? I don't like geography. And I said, no, it's not the subject you don't like. You don't like the way it's being taught to you. She looked at me and smiled, waiting for me to explain. And then I said, and why don't you like it? She said, why? I don't understand anything. And I said, there you go. That's because you don't understand. But can you recall that in a lesson when you understand something, for example, let's say geography or math, oh yes, sir, I understand that. Oh, I like math now. So see.
Yes. That's awesome. And so I think our listeners, some of them are classroom teachers. And some are teachers who want to stay in education, hence the name of our business, and really explore other options outside of the classroom. So I'm curious what advice you'd give to both of those kind of sectors of people, both the people who want to stay in the classroom and those who might want to do something else in education, but not necessarily be a classroom teacher.
Okay, well, let's start with those who want to stay in the classroom, like myself. One of the first thing to... Let's say the first thing I would advise you to look after is your own well-being. Because if you're not happy within yourself, intellectually, mentally, and physically as well, you are not going to enjoy doing the job. Teaching is a very demanding and challenging profession. Working with children is by definition very, very difficult. And so imagine one parent is struggling with two kids. Imagine you struggling with having to deal with 30 of them on your own. So that's very difficult. So that requires a lot of strength. And mental strength and physical strength. So look after yourself and do give yourself time outside of school to do other things unrelated to school, hobbies or going out with friends or whatever you want, but something that is just for you. And that's what I do, which makes me enjoy the time when I'm in school. When I walk out, at the end of the day, when I walk out the school building, I forget everything about school. It's behind me. It is behind me. I know it's not easy for many teachers to do, but over time, you will manage to find a way to separate the work and your life outside of school. Now, for those of you who want to go beyond and leave the profession behind, having been a teacher is like having been in a field of gold. You have lots of bits of gold with you that you can take elsewhere. Because as teachers, we have good organizational skills, good communication skills, and many, many, many more. So these things are very important in any other business that you may want to go to, and So.
I love that idea of a field of gold. Yes. I mean, it's like teachers do all the things, right? And you have this experience working with all these different students and all these different areas.
Yeah.
So really seeing that, I think that so many teachers feel like they could only be teachers. Yeah. Where it's like, sure, I mean, being a teacher is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And also we need people who have been teachers to do all these other things.
Exactly.
Create a curriculum, coach teachers, support teachers and students in different ways.
Yeah. So, managing people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful to talk with you, Renee. Can you tell us where our listeners can connect with you?
Okay, well, I can be found on Instagram, Facebook. Just search my name, Renée Lofano, Renée, R-E-N-E-S, Lophanor, L-O-P-H-A-N-O-R, and or reneslophanor.com. You'll find all the necessary information there.
Wonderful. Well, we'll put the links in the show notes. And thanks again.
Thank you very much, Lily.
Ready to find rewarding, impactful work in the education world? Take our free quiz to discover your next right career step. Will you be a curriculum developer, an education consultant, instructional coach? The list of possibilities goes on and on. Take the quiz to find out the best fit for you at educatorforever.com/quiz. You'll also receive customized resources to kickstart your dream career and life.